Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fan Podcast. I'm your host Peter, joined this week by always by Tom and Donnie. How you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. How you doing, Donnie?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. So let's get the housekeeping done first. We're getting the nitty-gritty of the stuff. We'll go to our podcast league. There's a new top three. Number one is the Backstreet Boys with 94 points this week, up to first place. Good shooting. Up to place to second is Nairn County, Ash Nairn, 88 points. And up to third, or joint second, Jota Glue, Brian, 868. So that's your new top three. Also, the Kevin Van Veen round three leg one scores are up. So if you're still in the cup, you'll see it on Twitter. Tom's still in there. Tom won his first leg, so he's still got all to fight for. Again, that will conclude the next game week, and then there'll be a draw for the quarterfinals and so on and so forth. So let's go to our own Mega League score and rank. And I'll come to you, Donny. I think you're still third out of three, so you can go first. Score and rank.
Indeed. Yeah, it was a good week for me. Made one change, Cochrane out for Scales. So in goals, we had Hemming for 10, Penrice for 2, Captain Tab for 22, McGarry for 2, Scales for 6, Miller for 3, Armstrong 7, Boyle 1, O'Reilly 10, Bakayoko 2, and Vice-Captain Kyogo 18. So that was 83 points. My global score is 299. I was 1141, and I've shot up 533 places to 608. So starting to get to where I should be by my standards.
Okay, Tom, over to you. Score and rank.
Yeah, I got a total of 83 points this week. I had Clark in goals for 9. James Brown got me 2 points. Captain Tav, 22. Parks came on as a sub for 1. In midfield, I had O'Hara for 4, Spittle for 3, O'Reilly for 10, McCowan for 2, and up front, vice-captain Kyogo was 18, Lammers 2, and Simon Murray, 10 points. And my overall rank is 259.
I had 81 points this week, and that was enough for a green arrow of 8 places, 120 to 112. So I think starting to see the bulging up of ranks, especially close at the top. So we'll see how that goes next couple of weeks. And my goal scorers were Clark, 9 points, Penrice and Brown, 2 apiece, Captain Tavernier, 22, Devlin off the bench for 1, Boyle for 1, Miller, 3, Turnbull, 11, O'Reilly, 10, Vice Captain Furahashi, 18, and Lammers, 2. So, Tom, over to you for the results of the week.
Yep. So, first fixture we have is St Johnstone 0, Rangers 2. The first goal was scored by Danilo with an assist from Tav. Matondo scored the second with an assist from Tom Lawns. We'll just get this out of the way. St Johnstone still in a void for me. Not going there just now. The template captain and vice-captain this week came up tops. Only Scott Tanzer bettered Tav and Kyogo points-wise. So Captain Tav, always Captain Tav, is back on the table. It was Danilo. He got his second goal of the season. He came off straight after with like a fractured skull, a fractured cheek. He's already had the surgery. and he's hoping to be back playing as soon as. It might be a similar situation like with Callum McGregor, where he played for a mask. Rangers will play in the Europa League this week, so it probably gives us a bit of an indicator. And I imagine he probably won't be in the squad. Might be a bit too soon for him, but if he's on the bench, then I suppose it's looking promising. Despite his injury, I probably wouldn't be rushing to get him in, as his goal was just against St Johnstone. He's not really got any hauls. And given his price point at $6.5 million, he's quite a difficult one to squeeze in. He was replaced by Seema, who stats-wise dominated the game. He had 5 shots, 2 of which on target, making him top for that stat. He did miss a big chance, and he did look good as well. Barisic was benched, which isn't ideal because we've touted him as Rangers' second best fantasy option. I'm not too sure if this is a rotation for Europa League. I'll be interested to hear what Donny's thoughts are on that. And also the assister, Tom Lawrence. He looked like he had a good game, so Donny, take it away.
So Rangers doing what Celtic couldn't do, and that was score against St Johnston. So it's imaginary trophy lift for that one. So the team news was obviously the only team news we got this weekend. Cantwell being injured will affect a lot of teams. And Yilmaz in for Barisic was the other one. I think a lot of that was to do with internationals. Barisic was away with Croatia. Yilmaz is not in the European squad, so you don't really want to risk Barisic coming off international duty to a game against St Johnstone to then to Europe. So it made sense to play Yilmaz. Whether we see that kind of chop and change week in, week out, it's tough to say. Barisic probably is the man on form, but Yilmaz is a player that we've paid quite a bit of money for and kind of almost need to have him playing week in, week out. So it's difficult because you won't see team news this weekend, whether a stick or twist. So you might just have to change and hope that it works out for the best. Roof holding his position in the team is quite an interesting one. I know there is questions on Rangers later on that we can look at in more detail, but if you're looking at change fortunes up top, that might be the way to go. As you said, Tav getting in on the action, thought it was a good cross for the opener. Danilo managed to get his head stuck in there and, like you say, got injured at the time. I think there's concussion protocols for these types of injuries, so I don't think he'd be back too soon. And as you say, he'll probably have the face mask on. I thought Rangers were nervy in the second half. St Johnstone did try and have a go. I think just a lack of confidence in that team, so it wasn't really a surprise. Roof, for the second game in a row, having a goal disallowed before Matondo made it 2-0. I think Matondo had started that game, I would have put him in for Cantwell, but because he was on the bench, I left him out. I did pick him in my expert tips, so I'd have got good returns for that. But I did worry about Lawrence. Again, he's been out for a year, so minutes could be a risk there, but it's certainly good from a fan's point of view to see him coming back. I think from a Rangers point of view, you've got to be happy with the game, but playing on Sundays now is going to make it difficult to pin down, you know, who else outside of Tav you're going to have. And as you say, St Johnstone are just in a void altogether. It doesn't really matter who they're playing. It's not really going to swing how I feel. But a good win after, obviously, a bad result the previous game week.
Yep. Peter, how are you feeling about Rangers?
Difficult one, because any players who I'd like to have brought in is the ones that are kind of a rotational risk. Barisic was on the agenda. He's not. Matondo come off the bench, look good, but does that guarantee team starts? We don't see any team news for the next so many weeks, so Tav's the one I'm stuck with. I'm stuck with Lammers. I don't really like Lammers. I don't want to rid him, but at the same time, who they going to him for? I mean, Celtic team news earlier this week, so we'll get to that, but I think Tonnelly could be dropped, so there's my first one. You actually see he's dropped, so I've moved him, so I think I'm stuck with Lammers for the next week, but there's nobody really standing out or taking it by the scruff of the neck. We'll wait and see, maybe we get to an international break and by that time Campbell coming back and just slot him back into my team. But Donny's pretty much covered it all. It's just now going to be one of the weird ones where you're kind of taking a punt now because they're playing on Sunday and hoping they're going to be in the starting 11, apart from if you want to double up maybe. Who's else guaranteed? Golston and the keeper?
Yep, that's about it. I'd agree with that. Even Campbell isn't really performing just now, so perhaps a wait and see, and we'll maybe see some sort of consistency. I think he's chopped and changed his team quite a bit, and He needs to find a sort of settled 11 soon, I think. Next fixture, anyway, then, is Celtic 3, Dundee 0. Turnbull got the opener with a penalty, which he won himself. Kyogo got the second with an assist from Callum McGregor. And O'Reilly got the third goal with an assist from Kyogo. As mentioned, Turnbull got the opener. I agree with you, Peter. I think it's concerning for people that do own him in the fantasy game, because the game completely changed when Hitati came on and Turnbull came off. So I think it's going to be Hitati going forward. It was quite turgid prior to that, but see what happens tonight. Kyogo got a goal and assist. I think we've mentioned it before. Him and O'Reilly continue to be the must-haves from the Celtic team. And the third spot at the minute is probably up for debate. Alistair Johnston had a good game. He hit the woodwork twice, which left me reeling because I had him in my expert picks. So could have been a brace there, but never mind. He could be a decent option going forward. There's a few wingers, midfielders to look at. Yang had a decent first half. Palma and Bernardo are the ones to watch as well. Again, game tonight, so that might cast a bit more light on the situation. In terms of Dundee, Bakayoko and Luke McCowan, they both missed big chances in this game, and they seem to be the sort of Dundee cheap enablers to go for. Peter, you were saying on Saturday you're willing to give Celtic new arrivals a bit of time. What's your thoughts on this one?
Well, I think you could have got to, I suppose. It's a situation where, well, first of all, start Dundee. The names you mentioned, plus Beck, is kind of cheap enables at the team. They look okay at time. They look like they're going down the same game plan as St Johnson, make it difficult to beat and break down. Celtic's looked a bit sharper against St Johnson, a bit more quicker. And again, you mentioned when Benatati came on, that changing a bit more, faster pace, faster tempo. So I think it's just a matter of time. If you're a Turnbull like myself, lucky this week he was kept the pitch, but I don't think going forward with Hitati back fit and what was the Portuguese midfielder's name, Tom?
Is it Bernardo?
Bernardo. So I think these two will be vying for that other position, because I think Kyogo and O'Reilly's pretty much going to be nailed to your two best assets. So it would be where you want to go to Hitati. I know he was good for spells last season. I got on quite quick. I don't know how that'll look under a Brendan Rodgers team, if he will play in deeper and dictate and play. We'll have to wait and see. The wingers, Maeda's obviously classed as a striker, so that kind of rules him out, unless you might have two up top. As much as Wang or Yang looked okay, I don't think he stole anybody's self, so it may be seen if Palmer starts next week or who takes that one, else it's still up for debate. And at the back, I would say, yes, Johnson's probably your best bet if you want to go in there. I know Scales is cheaper, but we mentioned this last week. I think it's only a matter of time before he gets replaced, where I think Johnson is a standout fullback, and he was unlucky in that game. I think on another day he could have probably got a one goal, maybe two, even an assist. I have to wait and see. Apart from that, yep, not much else to tell. It was just one of those games, I think. It looked like it had a touch of St Johnston about it, but eventually wore him down, then the game opened up.
Yep. Donny, anything to add to that one?
Yeah, so this is one of those rare walking clean sheets for me. I think you could all see from the outset that this was going to be an easy win. So I switched Cochrane for Scales. I think you'll get team news for the next couple of Celtic games. So if Scales has dropped, I think it's an easy switch. The price point he's at, you can get any other defender in the game. So I don't really mind that one. I thought it was a slow start from Celtic, and we've seen that in a couple of other games now. But Dundee never really caused them trouble. It was obviously the second half before they got going. Second penalty in five games. And they're obviously doing well on that front. And then Celtic choose to ignore any sportsmanship when the Dundee player was down injured. They just carried on playing to make it 2-0. And Kyogo O'Reilly making it 3. So there's definitely, you know, Kyogo O'Reilly would be the main picks. It'd be interesting if Turnbull is dropped, because he's taken both of those penalties. So if Hitati comes in, he did take penalties at the end of last season. If that were to be the case, going on the amount of pens they're getting at the moment, then it might be worth doubling up there. But yeah, for Dundee, nothing new. It was always a game that we're going to struggle. I think we've all got a bit of Dundee over the course of our team. You know, you'll get returns. They've got not bad fixtures coming up, but this was just a game to avoid. From Celtic, as I say, O'Reilly, Kyogo, another, just to see how they get on in Europe, see what rotation's going to be like and work it around that. But it was a game that was never really going to trouble them.
Next game then, we've got Hearts 2, Aberdeen 0. It was Oda that got the first goal with an assist from Boyce, and Boyce got the second. It's another bad day at the office for Aberdeen. I think Barry Robson's coach on a shaky peg. Just now, I think for me, that they're a complete avoid unless we see some sort of improvement or perhaps even a new manager bounce, depending on how things pan out. One thing I did notice, James McGarry, a name that's not really popped up too much. He did manage three shots on target, so perhaps he's one to watch. That's pretty good going against a defensively sound Hearts. Speaking of Hearts being defensively solid, Xander Clark made five saves in the game and ended up with a nine-pointer. The Hearts defence are keeping pace with Celtic and Rangers for clean sheets so far this season. All three teams have got three clean sheets so far, so definitely value there. The strikers are still not doing it. We talked previously about Shanklin, Miovski, Duke not getting points and not justifying their hefty price tags. Boyce, he did get a haul this week. He only had a single assist before this game, so it could possibly be one of these one-week wonders, something we'll probably just have to wait and see. I'll come to you first, Donny. What's your thoughts?
So Aberdeen still without a win this season. That's a shame. Hearts, yeah, Cochrane now injured, so that was a bit of a pest, and that's where I made my change. But I think Boyce, he did have a good game. He looked, like the Boyce of old before he had that bad injury. It must be a pest for the Shankland owners, what to do. I think he's what got one goal this season and very little else. And the premium you're paying for him, it's not working out. So he definitely got a decision to make there. I know there's a question on that, so we'll discuss that later. Interesting, you talk about McGarry. He's also in my notes. A few shots on targets. Other weeks they go in. I think if they've got a bit more confidence, they might go in. I've actually got McGarry in my squad. I remember the European game, he played pretty well. Just I thought he was a differential from Devlin, which I know was in a lot of teams. But yeah, Aberdeen, the games don't come any easier. I think they've got Eintracht Frankfurt this weekend and then Ross County double with Rangers. So there's too many players out of form. I mentioned it last week. They've only got one clean sheet. It's really hard to back Aberdeen. For Hearts, I thought Atkinson looked good, Boyce looked good. And it was a pretty straightforward win. I was quite surprised that you mentioned that Clark had all those saves, because when I watched the game, it didn't feel like Aberdeen had that many chances, but well, maybe just wasn't paying attention enough since it was Aberdeen. But yeah, good win for Hearts and Aberdeen, nail luck.
Peter, anything to add there?
Yep, Aberdeen, like you mentioned, I think Robson got the job last year on good form fixtures, but it's been all out the window. I know he's to totally rebuild a lot of his defensive lineup, but I remember watching them last season. We all discussed it. They had the team fighting really good at the start. He made a couple of changes and they were giving everybody a good game and went unbeaten for a good bit. A lot of clean sheets. That's been right out the window. I mean, I brought Devlin in on that kind of idea that Devlin was a better right back than what they had, and it's just not seemed to work out. Unfortunately, I've had other fires to put out before that, so he's also kind of stuck with my team on the bench, but I think over time he will be replaced. It looks like they're having the kind of effect that Hearts had last year, where the European football is affecting them. Their squad's too pulled fiddly and they're struggling two games a week, so that's going to upkeep the next 2 or 3 months, depending on when the European fixtures finish. I suppose if they get scalped over in Frankfurt on other fixtures, this is not going to add to the Aberdeen fans maybe wanting more for, or wanting them out the door quicker. Hearts, funny team. I think we're all on. Are we all on Clark? Have you got Clark as well, Donny?
No, I've got Hemming.
Again, so Clark to me is just now the set and forget keeper. I've no issue in getting rid of him anytime soon. He's returned quite well, so keep him there. Defence, if it stays settled, mate, but then I don't want to invest double Hearts. I'll stop it for a start there. Shanklin's the one up top. I've got a question on that later. I suppose you spend a lot of money, you want the returns out of him. And Boyce did look lively and like the old Boyce, so it's one that I will definitely keep an eye on for a cheaper way into the Hearts attacking lineup if he remains this kind of form. But that's it for me.
Yep. Next fixture then, we have Motherwell nil, St Mirren won. The goal came from Tanza with an assist from Strain. Tanza was the top scorer of the game week. He had a goal, a clean sheet and two bonus. This was his first attack and return of the season and his first clean sheet as well. I think possibly St Mirren's first clean sheet too. Don't be getting too excited with that. O'Hara is back, as we suspected. He started the game. He got some extra points for making three tackles and a clean sheet. But St Mirren do have Hearts, Kilmarnock and Rangers next. So, tough opposition. Obviously, Kilmarnock with a decent enough defensive record so far this season. In terms of Motherwell, Spittle's doing well. He did well stats-wise, given Motherwell's attacking issues. He managed a total of six shots with three on target. Still playing more advanced than what he normally does. He does face Rangers and then Celtic, so again, not an ideal situation. Strain managed to get an assist, but for me, still not justifying the hefty price tag after his good form last season. But given both these teams have poor short-term fixtures, I'd be interested to hear what your guys' thoughts are on if it's a keep, if it's a bench trick, if it's a sell. What do you reckon, Peter?
Motherwell first. I wouldn't be disheartened by this result. I think St Mirren have proven themselves to be the best of the rest so far. So St Mirren are a team that's, regarding fixtures, we'll get to at the minute. But with Motherwell, I think we've all got Miller, or thought about Miller. So to me, this is my bench trick at this point forward. I've still got Suárez at the defensive. So I think I'll be moving him on this week. If Turnbull doesn't start, I'll move somebody else on. When it comes to St Mirren, I know you've mentioned fixtures there, but they've looked really impressive to me. I would be quite happy if I had one of the players just to carry him forward. Use a bench trick. I mean, Strain and Tanza are both attacking fullbacks. I did like that goal, one fullback to other fullback. That was reminisced a couple of times last year. And I would just keep a hold of them if I had them on the bench. O'Hara is on my shortlist again now. For example, if Turnbull was dropped this week, like I said, I would have no qualms bringing O'Hara in regardless and just maybe using the bench trick because he's talismanic, he's on pens, and I believe last year he done well against Rangers twice, Tony. You could tell I was wrong. Scored two goals against Rangers two different occasions.
Could have, yeah. I tried to blank them out.
So I'm pretty sure he's one of the players, not quite like Boyle, but he can kind of go against any team and I would be happy to risk playing him. So if you've got them, I wouldn't be selling them. I'd be keeping them, benching them. If you've got quite a lot of them, mind you, then you just need to be kind of picking wisely who you're going to bench, probably keep the penalty taker on your team or the attacking winger. Because Strain's still quite high loaned, I believe. I looked at the starter, so still a lot of people kept him, so they've done well to return this week.
Donny?
Yeah, you'd be forgiven for thinking this was a routine 1-0 win for St Mirren, but it was all Motherwell. If you watch the highlights, Hemming made seven saves, plus the clean sheet, three bonus points. So he was 10 points. We were talking about Clark for Hearts. Hemming exceeded his points haul. So that's good. So because I've got Hemming goals, I wouldn't have St Mirren in defence. I wouldn't double up. So Strain and Tanz are a no-no for me. But I thought Motherwell, you know, they did all they could to try and get back in the game, but they couldn't get anything up top. And I think that's where the problems do lie. I think they've got a lot of good players. Spittle, Slattery, Lennon Miller. They're all, you know, good form players. But in this game, it just didn't click. They just don't have that same threat up the top. Fixture-wise, you've mentioned it. Motherwell have got Rangers and Celtic up next. So you're not really going to want to invest other than what you might already have. St Mirren, I would look at O'Hara, fitting him back in. I think he's just a nice price point. Will get returns more often than he won't get returns, regardless of the fixtures. So a good win for St Mirren, and the usual names are there or thereabouts. So, yep.
Yep. Next fixture then, we have Kilmarnock 2, Hibs 2. For Kilmarnock, it was Vassell that scored. A second goal came from Joe Wright with an assist from Danny Armstrong. For Hibs, it was a Will Dennis own goal, and Vente got the second goal with an assist from Ellie Ewan. Hibs were flying at half-time, 2-0 up, and much like Boyle continues to disappoint his owners, Hibs ended up disappointing the supporters by coming away with a draw. Boyle did have it on a plate a couple of times. Hibs do have St Johnstone at home and Dundee at home, so surely a haul is on the cards there. I might actually start investing in Boyle myself. Doidge was off at half time. I was kind of hoping to see a bit more of him under the new manager, but I think he had a cut on his head, so surely he'll be back for the following game week. Venti, this was his first attack in return, so keep an eye on him. Ellie Ewan, second assist of the season, no goals yet. I was a bit surprised at that because I kind of thought he'd been a bit more active this season. And then obviously Lafondre, he came on for Doidge at half-time. He's been a bit of a super sub this season. He's up there amongst the points with strikers, but he didn't make any returns this game. In terms of Kilmarnock, Danny Armstrong continues to tick along nicely. Vassell scored the rebound after an initial strike from Brad Lyons. Brad Lyons' strike was saved. So I still believe he's a decent enabler option. He's really, really cheap. So I think there's potential for attack and returns going forward from him still. But I suppose the question is, will you guys be loading up on Hibs for the Plum 2 fixtures coming up, Donny?
Just on Boyle. You know, I think again, if you watch the game, he only got 1 point from a fantasy point of view, but he was far better than that during the match. He had a couple of chances early on, and how he didn't get an assist or a goal himself is beyond me. So definitely one to stick with, as you mentioned, the fixtures against St Johnstone and Dundee and even Hearts, he'd be up for that. They then play Rangers and Celtic. So, you know, he's a big time performer. I've got him in my team and I certainly won't be looking to move off him. But the problem for Hibs is at the back. That's the fourth time in five games where they've conceded two or more goals. And quite often they've actually conceded three. So that's where their issues lie. You can't keep clean sheets or you have to score at least two goals just to get a point out of the match. Then you're making it very difficult for yourself. So the manager will have more work to do ahead of the St Johnstone match. As for Kilmarnock, again, it's a good, you know, fight, get themselves back into the game. And I think we've seen that more from them this season. They probably would have lost that game last season. I've got Armstrong. He missed a penalty last week, so he returned 7 points this week, so that was good. Defence-wise, as I say, both teams not great in defence. Boyle's a yes, Armstrong's a yes. I have got Watkins in my team. It was a bit of a punt. I don't think it's really working out. I might move off of him, but where to go instead, I'll just have to wait and see. But it was a good game, certainly lively, and a bit more work to do from each team going forward.
Yep. Peter, what's your thoughts?
Yep, agree with Donny. I know Boyle got 1 point, but he did definitely pass the eye test if you're watching the game, so don't you dare bring him in this week. Taught me to collect the points we've had before. Boyle, yes. Armstrong, yes. Defences, both teams, no, is what I took for this game. Both of them look dead lively. Hibs up front, a mixed bag. There's still a few players to pick from, so nobody's really nailed it. And I wouldn't touch both our teams defensively. Maybe when Ndava comes back from Kilmarnock, they might look more defensively sound again. They did look okay when he was at the start of the team. He's out for the receivable, so I am no rush to bring in at the back, even with good fixtures going forward, because as Hibs shown themselves, they could be 2-0 up and still blow it. So the toss is different. No interest.
No. Next fixture then, we have Ross County 1, Livingston 1. For Ross County, it was Simon Murray that got the goal with an assist from Josh Reid. For Livingston, it was Bruce Anderson that got an assist from Guthrie. Three shots on target for Simon Murray. I think he's a really, really good third striker option. And he's now the third highest scoring striker in the game. They do have Celtic and Rangers in the next three, and St Johnstone at home sandwiched in the middle. So I've got him. I'll probably be using him as part of a bench trick going forward. Yeah, still keeping a hold of him for now. Disappointed there was no clean sheet for James Brown, as that would have been County's third clean sheet. And again, they would be keeping pace with the likes of Celtic and Rangers and also Hearts as well, as previously mentioned. Laidlaw, only 2 points behind Clark, who's the highest scoring keeper in the game. And there's probably no other County players I would consider other than those three. For Livingston, Bruce Anderson I think he's had a couple of goals in his last three, but he's priced at 5 million, which is very steep for a Livingston team that kind of seem to spread the goals around. They're at home to Aberdeen next, so surely a clean sheet's on the cards for Livingston. The fixtures are actually quite good. They're quite tough. They play five of last season's top six in their next six fixtures. So after that Aberdeen game, might start to get a bit tougher. De Lucas, he's been looking good so far this season, but I don't know if I see a lot of points for him in the short to medium term going forward. But I'll come to you first this time, Peter.
Same as you, Tom. James Brown, that has been the top 100 in the world. The goal conceded, so you're like, okay, here we go. So the best thing that happened is one each. So NBN has lost both the clean sheets. They both seem to be decent. A lot worse off teams and names. So I think we say this every week. If you've got them, just persevere with them. Main trick them, play them on better fixtures, and maybe one out of three or four returns, you will get something back. So not much to add. Both teams looked okay. I'm not going to blow you away. If you've got cheap assets, I'll keep a hold of them. I don't see any rush to them in either, but I just have to wait and see how it goes in the next couple of weeks. If teams like your Hibs and Aberdeen don't start improving, then maybe you'll be moving to players from these teams, but that's about it.
Yep. Donny?
Yep, I think credit where credit's due. I think Tom might be onto something with the Simon Murray. I think it's the first time I've properly watched Ross County. I know Rangers beat them quite comfortably, but having watched the game, I thought they controlled the match, created a lot of chances. Most of the work did come through Simon Murray. I think his price point, when we talk about strikers, he's probably as good as anyone else. I thought Livingston, they got away with this one. I think Martindale said as much after the match that they probably didn't deserve to get anything, but you know, they rode their luck and they took their chance. So 1-1 it was. It's hard to back either of these teams. I mean, we talk about Livingston as a defensive unit, and not even sure if they've kept any clean sheets of late, and Ross County, just because of who they are, they probably don't get as much credit as they deserve. But you know, if you watch the game, Simon Murray was a standout. Certainly one to think about. If you want to take a punt, you know, some weeks it'll work out, some weeks it won't. But not much else. If you've got those cheap defenders, just hold on to them. Again, you'll get lucky sooner rather than later, unless you invest elsewhere. But no, it was a good game. Ross County unlucky not to get the win. But...
Yep. Just to round things off then, we have the weekly top 10. We know the top three already. Scott Tans are coming in at number one with 14 points. Kyogo second with 13. And Tavernier with 11. In fourth place, Turnbull, the penalty scorer, got 11. O'Reilly got 10. Hemming, the goalkeeper, as you mentioned, Donny, 10 points there. Boyce, 10 points. Simon Murray, 10 points. Strain at St Mirren, 9 points. And Xander Clark, 9 points as well. Breaking down the positions, that leaves us with two goalkeepers, which is a bit of a phenomenon based on last season. Defence, 3, midfield, 2, and forwards, 3. I think most of those names we would expect, and perhaps a few one-week wonders in there as well. As I said before, Turnbull might not be in the top 10s for too much longer, but anything to add there?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What's your thoughts?
I think it was quite a high scoring week. 80 seemed to be quite a par score. So people are catching on now to where the money lies. In terms of value, you got rewarded with your keepers this week. If you had Hearts or St Mirren, you won't get that every week. With a defender scoring, a penalty taker scoring, you'll get lucky with them now and again. But the same names are just starting to float to the surface now. And if you can fill those gaps with some quality, then you know you'll be there or thereabouts. But no, it was a good scoring weekend.
Yeah.
Yep, pretty much agreed with what I said there. Yep, a lot of names are starting to hear more often than we are used to or we're expecting to return. And like you said, there's always going to be one or two names thrown there with a one-week wonder, like you call them, Tom, just out of nowhere. But, yep.
Yep.
Okay, Donnie, you have a player for this week. Donnie's dive, you can take it away.
Yep, so there's one name that we've not really mentioned and I'm going to give it to you in just a second. So the dives, I'll look at fixtures and just different things like that. But the differential is just about looking at a player who's, you know, maybe in form and getting overlooked, low ownership. So this is really to try and help you get ahead of the game in terms of that. My first shout last season was Kevin Van Veen, and that turned out not too bad. So we'll see how this one goes. I will caveat this choice by saying it is slim pickings at the moment. You know, we're only 5 game weeks in, but the figures, I think, once you hear what I've got to say, it might give you food for thought. So this week's player is 9.8% owned. That makes him the 38th top owned player alongside Alex Cochrane and Lael Abada. He has played all 5 games this season, averaging 92 minutes, so every minute of every game. He has 23 points at an average of 4.6 points per game, so that's not too bad. If we look closely at the numbers, no goals and no assists, but he does have 4 bonus points. Anybody want a guess yet? Peter?
Nico Raskin.
Okay, Tom.
I have to lose wonder there.
I'll go with Raskin then.
Let's see if you're
probably on the money with that.
He is priced at 4.8 million and he is a midfielder. The final clue is he's a Belgian under 21 and possibly the greatest number 43 in Scottish football. So, final answers.
I'm guessing it is him then.
It's got to be Raskin the way this is going.
So, This week's differential is Nico Raskin of Rangers. So if you just take the stats at face value, they're not exactly in his favour. No goals, no assists in those games. But if you keep in mind, Rangers have lost 2 of those 5 games. That 4.6 average is pretty impressive. If you're like me, you've got a Cantwell-sized hole in your team, this could be the one to fix that. He's safe in terms of minutes. As I said, he's played every minute of every game. And I think if you look at some of the other options, Lawrence and Matondo, they're more likely to be at rotation. His points, if you look at his points, he's got more points than O'Hara, Spittle, Boyle and Armstrong. And that's all players that we champion week in, week out. So Raskin is outperforming them all as far as that's concerned. He's a no-nonsense midfielder. He racks up those passing points in his sleep and he just ticks along nicely. And I think if he does get an assist, so a lot of listeners will hark back to, I think one of the first one of these I did was on Glenn Kamara. Very similar for Raskin. Just maybe more if he gets an assist, will offer value if you just set and forget. And I think midfield-wise and Rangers-wise, that is a problem at the moment. So this week's differential, Nico Raskin, it's 4.8 million and he plays for Rangers. So thoughts on that one? You both guessed it in the end. Tom, will you be having him in your team?
Potentially. I think that's probably a decent shout, given that really the only sort of stable option we've got just now is Tavernier, and that's it. Barisic isn't assured. We've kind of said he's maybe been our second option. Still leaves a third, but now even Barisic isn't really assured of starts in the league. The Danilo thing throws a bit of a spanner in the works. Lammers hasn't really been performing. Beal seems to be kind of switching around to start in 11, so it makes sense to get a player that's consistent and, you know, he's ticking along, so may as well for the time being. I can't think of any other players to fill in that third slot or even potentially the second slot.
Yeah, no, absolutely. As I say, he's got more points than O'Hara, Spittle, Boyle, Armstrong, so why not? Peter, thoughts on Raskin? See, going to find his way into your team?
He kind of stole the words out of my mouth when you mentioned Kamara, because I was thinking, as you were talking about it, the touch of the Kamara and McGregor about him last year, but yeah. Pretty much plays most games, will take over points. My only concern would be that eventually you'll probably be able to get a more explosive Rangers return than that. So yeah. Bring in mind that's fair enough. Just be wary that there will be a point come in the season where it might be a settled 11, there might be more a guy who's guaranteed to probably potentially score more points, and at that point you need to maybe keep that second transfer so you can get him out if you want to do that. But No problem with that. If you want to have a Rangers player in there who's pretty much guaranteed minutes, pretty much guaranteed, you say, look, passing point, and then I think that's a good shout. Yep.
Okay, good. So, yeah, so that's a differential. So, if you want to get on him, guys, good luck. And if he doesn't do the business, I apologise in advance.
Plus, I guess, because I knew the first player you'd pick would be the Rangers player, Donny. Right, okay, on to the questions. First up is from FPL Liger. After yet another blank, it feels like now we could be time to move on Shankland, but who for? So what do you think on the Shankland situation? Start with you, Dorian. Who's the ideal replacement?
I mean, it's really difficult. There's absolutely no value up top at the moment, and you might want to even factor that into your team selection and go heavy in midfield. That's what I do. I mean, I just have Kyogo up front and then leave the bench to do what it does. So it is slim pickings. I mean, if you look elsewhere, St Mirren, Motherwell, both a lottery. Ross County, you know, they're not going to score a lot of goals, even though we did talk about Murray there. Livingston, again, you've got Anderson, but they play Celtic next. St Johnston, no. Hibs, they've got Vente, Doidge, Lafondre, it's too much choice. Kelly Vassell, Watkins, no. I think, you know, the answer might actually lie with Hearts and Boyce. I think if you've got Shankland, you just hold on to him because they've got some easy fixtures before they then run into Hibs, Rangers and Celtic, and then you can maybe move them on. There's not a lot of value elsewhere. I think we'd probably just keep the faith. I certainly wouldn't be moving to him, but if you have him, I'd maybe just sit on it for a couple more weeks. It's a tough one.
Tom, same question to you.
Yeah, this is going to give me an opportunity to correct myself because I said Ross County had Celtic and Rangers in the next three with St Johnstone in the middle. I must have refreshed Sutty's ticker by accident and it took us back to game week one because clearly not the case because they've got Aberdeen away this week and then Hearts at home, then Dundee. They actually have quite a favourable run going forward. So I think Simon Murray is clearly the option to go for, now that fixtures aren't really an issue. I think Doidge could be an option given the St Johnston Dundee at home over the next two. You're not going to get a better two fixtures than that. So if he's back, I think he was second top scorer striker in the game. So if he's back for the weekend, keep an eye on those pressers to find out, because we're not going to get team news because obviously Celtic have the lunchtime kickoff. So I think he could be a decent option. You could even go for Venti as well. I mean, he's been ticking along nicely despite not starting games. Those would be my picks.
Right, like you said, there's not really anything that really stands out to me with the Shankland situation. I think Boyce is the one to keep in mind. I read the question. If Shankland's going to play in that slightly deeper position, are they going to switch and rotate? I don't know, but keep an eye on Murray, you might have mentioned. I don't know if you could potentially go for Maeda up top, but he's not scored yet this year. Now, he's scored once, so I know that hat trick pre season, we're all kind of going, oh, here we go, but none's really happened to that. So until somebody stands out from the crowd, put their hands up, there's not much there. I mean, you'd normally be probably sitting going on with Oski or Duke would be at this point, or we'd have someone, another team, maybe a Van Dien replacement, but it's not happened so far. So I'd be inclined to keep a hold of him until somebody appears, or like Donny mentions, go a cheap player who's playing as Benjamin, you might get the odd return. Right, next up is same again from FPL Liger. Is it worth keeping the faith in Kilty? Is Dander a better option, Tom?
Kilty, he was on penalties, I think, before, but now that O'Hara's back, he's going to have to probably give that back up again. So, I don't know. St Mirren's fixtures do get a bit tight over the next sort of three. I think there's better options available. I think there's going to guys that are probably going to be a bit more consistent week in, week out. So if he's got nothing else to do in his team, then I'd be looking to move on.
Yeah, you mentioned yourself Lions before, and what, Miller's an option, maybe not fixture by this week, but there is cheap players playing every week. Would you think, Tony, Kilty or Dander, better option?
I imagine he took in Kilty when O'Hara got injured. If that was the case, I'm trying to get back to O'Hara, unless money's a problem. Dander, unless I've missed something, I don't think he's done anything all season. So that's not where I would look. There's loads of choices in midfield. I've mentioned them just all there when I was covering off Raskin, but I wouldn't be looking at either of those teams. I think you've got plenty of other choices that you can fill up with.
Okay, next question is from Gavin, then loads of numbers after his name. Feel I've got a defensive issues this week. So, number one, do you think Barisic will be rested again? And that'll get to you, Donny. Barisic be rested of Europe?
I think he might. So he'll play on Thursday, but I'm not sure if he will play at the weekend. But who knows? And a man that's changed his team 10 times in the last 10 games, you know, anybody's guess. But I think he might just do that while we get through these European games. But then, you know, it doesn't really give Barisic a good run, nor does it give Yilmaz a good run. I would wait and see. There's no guarantees in that defence other than Tavin Goldson, so that might be the answer he's looking for.
The European football thing may have been international first, may have been as well, so you don't know. You don't see the team, which is unfortunate, but I would tend to think Barisic might play Thursday, and then obviously Yilmaz would come in the league. Then Barisic might start playing more often again, but again, we don't have the team to see. What do you think, Tom? Barisic rested again, or Yilmaz rested, or no idea?
It's a difficult one to say. I could potentially see it the other way around. I mean, it depends who he feels is going to be his strongest option. Because
Yilmaz is not in the European squad, so
that's thinking,
yeah. Right. you wouldn't risk Barisic at the weekend because you can't play Yilmaz in Europe, so it would have to be that way. So
yeah,
if they are going to rotate, Barisic, it'll be Yilmaz that gets the weekend games and Barisic's other games, which is a shame because Barisic, prior to international duty, he had some good returns and he was a player we were all looking forward to having in our teams, but he's put a spanner in the work, which is the joy of Scottish football.
Just something to watch, and for the next couple of weeks, European, six group games over the space of the next couple of months, so it's neat to watch a game before or a game after, depending on how it falls home or away.
Next question from Gavin is, thinking of selling O'Donnell, that would give me a budget of 3.8 million. Any advice for defenders? So he has got Tavernier, Barisic, Strain, O'Donnell and De Lucas. So he's got Strain and Tavernier and De Lucas, probably no sales. They've been pretty started. I know Strain has only kept that one assist, but I don't see any reason getting rid of him. Tavernier, don't get rid of him. De Lucas started the season well, so O'Donnell to somebody else. Who do you think, Tom?
What's his budget again?
He's got 3.8 million if he sells O'Donnell. I think it's made James Brown's a good bench enabler, but
I was about to say, is Ross County playing Aberdeen, so yeah, you'd fancy a clean sheet there. Plus, he's attacking fullback. I think he's already got an assist so far this season, perhaps two assists, I'm not sure.
He collects quite a lot of points as well, which is handy.
So, yep. So, I quite like him as an option. And then it gives you some funds to invest elsewhere in your squad as well, because he's very, very cheap.
Well, if he wants to go elsewhere, he's got a longer whole back line in Ross County. You can check who's played the most minutes, so you can bring somebody else in. You might go different to Brown. Donny, who would you be advising to replace O'Donnell with? 3.8 million?
I've said Scales. I think if you can see the team news, which you should for Celtic, and Scales is playing, I would just pop him in because, as I said, and we're discussing the game, if C Scales is not playing, you can get pretty much any other defender. So I would go that way. I think he has to sell him because they play Rangers and Celtic, and he's got De Lucas who plays Celtic. He's going to bench both of those, so very little returning option. So I think he has to try and get a return out of the player he's bringing in. And if you do that with Scales, you've probably got a better chance of a return than any other player. So that's the way I would go.
Yeah, plus he has the space. He's only got two Celtic players in, so he has one more slot available. Right.
Also, if you think Yilmaz is quite safe in the league, then he's only 3.4.
Yep, and he could do that, but that would give him the Rangers triple up and take rid of Barisic, which is a bit crazy, but then... Yeah. Next up is from John Cameron, Cammy37. Who do you guys think is the best third striker option is, no, in brackets, cheap? Donny?
I think picking two strikers is hard enough at the moment, so three... is a tricky one. I mean, I've got Watkins, Bakayoko, and to be honest, I'm not happy with Watkins. I think Bakayoko, for his price, he was 3.3, he's now 3.5. He's not been a bad punt. Okay, Celtic game aside, he was getting assists, so not too bad there. I think Tom's favourite, Simon Murray, would be another one, but there's really not a lot to go by. Maybe just look at midfielders instead. And having Kyogo up top on his own, you know, you'll get more points for passing, interceptions, you get the clean sheet points, and it's the same points for a goal. So if you spend your money wisely, that might be the best way out of it.
Tom, best third option striker, cheap?
Got to be Simon Murray, hasn't it? Bakayoko's an option as well.
That's the two I would say. Simon Murray, Bakayoko. They're cheap. They have returned so far, so your eyes draw to them going, right, they're cheap enough, you can get them in, and they're returning every so often. So that's the two I'd go for as well. Right, next up is a long question from Andrew. So I'm going to take it, he's quite new to the game, so he's got a two-paragraph sentence, so let me get through it all here. Do you guys treat players like stock and sell in high and try and buy when price falls? I've seen a couple of other experts' teams' values at close to 70 million, whereas mine had fallen to 59.6. Is it just luck dependent on who does well, if you have them early enough, or is it a value strategy? And when does value change? Is it live, or is it on the Monday of the new game week, for example? Therefore, if you expect everyone to buy a player for next week, it's best to do it early to save money. Anything around value and how you manage would be great. Thanks. Right. I think we can take off a few things pretty quickly here. The value changes when the game day locks, is that right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that deadline it changes.
It locks on deadline, doesn't move through the week. So, I'm coming to you first, Tony. How would you treat the value working with that? I mean, we've covered it before, but we've not covered it in great detail, but how would you look at value when it's going to rise and bring players in and sell, for example?
I think form dictates value. Because you're working with a small pool of players, anyone who does well in a couple of games, we're all going to jump on. Injury is another factor. You know, we've got Cantwell got injured, so you'll sell him. He'll fall in value. And then when he's fit, we'll get him back at a cheaper price. So you will, over the course of a season, have a team that's in excess of 70 million. And already after five games, I've got 1 million, you know, 61 million for my team. So you will benefit over the course of a season. But I don't actively look for cheap players or anything like that. I think it's just the form is enough to bring in a player. You know, doing the differentials, if you can get on a player early and then he kicks off, you'll get the price rise before everyone else. But in terms of timing, yeah, just do your changes as late as possible, get as much team news, and then do it, because it's the same as doing it at any other point in the week.
Right, just on that, before I come to Thomas, the only other thing I've noticed is if you get the cheap players in, young players are playing early, you do the value of them up quicker. Like, I think, who was it, a couple of years ago, we had the 2 million defenders for Aberdeen, both of them.
Yeah.
A couple of 0.5, couple of 0.1s every week. So if you do get yourself a cheap player who's playing 2.2, 2.3, they will tend to rise, I believe, quicker than like your Tav and Kyogo, because they're at the high end. Because people are on them already, so you're not lumping them off them. Where if you're on a player who's lumping them early, you get a chance. Anything to add to that, Tom, that question?
No, I mean, I've played the game since its inception, and value's probably not something I ever take into consideration at all. It's just something that accumulates naturally.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get in a player just because you think they're going to go up. You've got to look at your form and you've got to look at your fixtures. If you're buying a player because they're low or their price is down, it's probably because they're not really doing anything, at which point you don't want that player. So I would just play the game as you would any sort of other fantasy game and forget about the values.
An example, that would be O'Reilly this year. He's up to 6 million already since the season starts. So
yeah.
Players on a hot streak jump, because if you're playing for one of the big two especially, and there's playing a week and a chance of scoring goals, not going quick enough, it might be valued out your transfer fund. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Next up is from FPL underscore Bacon. Who's the best replacement for Cantwell with him expected out for the next few game weeks? I already have O'Reilly, McCown, Lyons and Slattery. At first glance, I'm torn between Spittle, Turnbull and Raskin, but open to their advice. Cheers, lads. So straight away, I'm going to say don't do Turnbull, because I don't think Turnbull's minutes are numbered. He might play the odd game in Europe, but I think overall it'll be the Portuguese lad, I keep forgetting his name, and Hatate, over the two will come in. So he said Raskin, Donny's going to dive on that, so Donny's going to probably talk about that there. And Spittle, he's ready to get Slattery, so I don't know. Slattery is Motherwell, no?
Yeah, they're both Motherwell.
Yeah.
So I don't think you want to double up Motherwell, but who do you think? What do you think, Tom? Who's the best option to bring in?
I wouldn't double up on Motherwell. We've got Rangers and Celtic next over game week 6 and 7, so I certainly wouldn't double up on Motherwell. He's got Armstrong, did he say?
No, Lyons.
No, he's got Lyons, he'd double up on Kamara.
Ah, right, so I'd double up on that either. Yeah. Boyle. Probably got...
That's what I like to hear. Get on that
probably
train.
If you're going to jump on Boyle now, then probably now is the time to do it with those fixtures. And if he doesn't do anything over those two games, he's an easy get rid, because then there's Hearts, Rangers and Celtic in the three game weeks after that. So you've got to jump on these streaks while you think they're going to come. So as I said in the sort of breakdown, he had a couple of shots on goal. It was on a plate for him and didn't capitalise. But you imagine he's probably going to get more chances against St Johnstone and Dundee, particularly in front of a home crowd, so surely.
Hey, Donny, same question yourself. Are they players, Spittle, Turnbull, Raskin? Any more to add?
Yes, I mean, Raskin I've covered off. Definitely think there's value there. O'Hara would have been one. Armstrong, another. Boyle. It's all the same names that we're saying. I think the four that he's mentioned that he's already got, other than O'Reilly, he's probably a bit light in midfield. So bringing in a few of those might help. Hatate could be an option if we're trying to predict how Celtic will go going forward. He might be the new penalty taker. You know, you could get early in on him. But the names that we've already mentioned are probably going to serve you well over the next few weeks.
He could just go straight replacement to Raskin and then jump back to Cantwell if he's back fit, and that keeps his Rangers all warming up. I suppose that's the best way of wanting it. You said to think of one nicely. Right, and last question, it's from Melstars 4. We've kind of covered a lot of this as we've talked, but we'll just quickly do it again. With possibly upcoming rotations, I'm assuming he's meaning European football teams, who are the best mid-price midfielders and forwards? Donny.
Yeah, we've talked enough about where to go, so I don't think I'm going to add any new names into the mix. Defenders, I mean, who have I got in defence?
I've got
Scales,
Tab,
who says midfielders and forwards?
Midfielders. Well, that's just the names we've already mentioned. Forwards. I think we should maybe be getting on the Murray train. Boyce at a push. It's hard. I must admit, it is hard to know where to go. But the names that we've mentioned over the course of the podcast is where you want to go. Sorry, I'm not helping too much on that one.
Yeah, I'm the exact same. I mentioned a few in the last question as well, a few names, but I think we've covered it all off. Tommy, any names to add? Cheap midfielders, cheap attackers?
Is it cheap or is it mid-price?
Mid-priced, well.
Because in the striker position, you've got Kyogo, which is 8 million, and then you've got Simon Murray, which is 3.7. The mid-price guys aren't performing, so like they're running about the 5, 5.5, your Shanklins, your Dukes, your Miowskis. It's not working for them. Doidge, if he's fit for the weekend, I reckon he could be an option. Like looking at Rangers, like Lammers and stuff, not really happening. Danilo is probably, yeah, if you're going to put your money on someone, who's going to emerge as the kind of the Rangers striker, the guy that's going to get the goals this season, it's either going to be him or Roof. So he's out. Roof is a bit injury prone as well. For midfielders, you've got sort of top is O'Reilly, and then you've got really cheap like Brad Lines at 3 point, and then you've kind of got this sort of cohort of sort of mid to cheap midfielders that are doing quite well. So you've obviously got your Armstrong, you've got your O'Hara, you've got your Spittle. The fixtures are a bit tough for these guys. I think the time's to take the punt on Boyle. Sound like a broken record with that one. And I think maybe the question's maybe coming a little bit, like maybe like a week or a couple of weeks too early in terms of Celtic. Like Celtic, they made a lot of transfers towards the end of the window. Players are just starting to get reduced into the playing squad. We've seen a few guys getting subbed on towards the end of the game on the weekend there. So we've got a game tonight. So that'll give us an opportunity to look at Celtic again, and then away at Livingston on the weekend. I think after that, we might have a fairer idea of who the sort of settled midfielders are, and there's a few guys in there around about the sort of 4.8, 4.9. So I think whoever starts to stick out amongst them is probably going to be your pick there for Celtic.
Nicely covered, Tom.
Right. Peter, just before you go, I've got another question. It came in from Barracuda. So we better not ignore him. The man knows his stuff. It's a league winner, a cup winner. He's got more medals than everyone put together. It's about Rangers as well. So I know as Celtic fans, that's your favourite subject. So Barracuda is asking, what playing time would you expect from the Rangers midfields and forwards, and how would you rank them? So if we look at the Rangers midfield and forwards, basically how are you going to prioritise and rank? So Tom, Rangers midfield, it's your three preferred Rangers midfielders, if I was to push you.
It's hard because, as you mentioned, he's not had a settled start of living. So, is Sima a midfielder?
No, he'd be a forward.
He's classed as a striker in the game. So, Matondo, Raskin, maybe Cantwell when he comes back.
Okay. Peter, who's your three Rangers midfielders?
I would say Raskin first, because you mentioned it, Raskin.
Yeah.
I'd like to, if Matondo could get more first team game time, but I don't know if that's going to happen under Beal, but Matondo, Cantwell will be first if he's back playing further up top, but if he's not playing in, Cantwell will be third right now at the three.
Yeah. I've wrote off Cantwell. Cantwell and Dowell are both injured. You've got Jack Lundstrom, Cifuentes for defensive midfielders, so I wouldn't really look to get much out of them. Raskin would be my top pick, Matondo would be my second pick, and Lawrence, who's just coming back, would be my third pick. So that's how I would view it as a Rangers fan. So if we look at the forwards, Peter, who would be your order of preference for the Rangers forwards?
Well, who have I got between here?
You've probably got Roof, Roof, Dessers, Lammers, Sima. You've got four to choose from, really.
Right, as it stands, probably Roof number one. I think Dessers would be the last. What I've seen of Dessers, I think he's terrible. Now, Lammers, I don't think he's a good player, but he tries. So that would make me think Seema two, and then Palmer's third down. But that's third and fourth is like scraping the barrel right now into the form hits because I'm not interested in the last ones.
Too much. Tom, same question, Rangers strikers.
Probably roofing Danilo when he comes back. I think we've kind of seen enough of Lammers and Dessers to kind of, we're not too keen on them. At least Seema came on and looked decent, so there's actually potential there, I think, possibly. So I'd say Roof, Danilo, Seema, Lammers and Dessers.
Yeah, I think Lammers is a bit unlucky. I think he's involved in the action, but he seems to be like the pre-assist, if that makes sense. He's the one before you get the points, but he's, you know, it's goals that count. For what it's worth, I've got Roof up front. I actually prefer Dessers. I know he's not set the world on fire since he's been at Rangers, but I think I would have him second. I think Beal probably favours him. I was actually surprised he didn't come on when Danilo went off. So I would go Roof, Dessers, Seema, and then Lammers. But again, there's so much choice and very little data to go on. You're probably better looking elsewhere in terms of attacking options. So hopefully that answers your question, Barracuda. And that's everything from me.
That's quite an indictment so far of Rangers in their squad. Yes. You think about it, we're all like, don't really want them. They should be 3-3 and be quite happy to go away. Mm-hmm. Why to fit more in. But anyway, fixtures then for the coming game week, and then we'll can get our captain picks and get out of here. So this game week, we're only going to have one early team news, so it's Livingston Celtic, half-12 kick-off Saturday. After that, we will have three Saturday games, St Mirren vs Hearts, Hibs vs St Johnstone, Dundee and Kilmarnock, and then the two teams playing in the lower leagues of European football is Rangers, Motherwell, Aberdeen, Ross County. Donny didn't even break a smell there. So funny here, though, is fixtures. Tom, who's your captain, vice-captain and possible transfers this week?
I think given how successful Captain Tav and vice-captain Kyogo have been this game week, it'd be tough to come off those two guys. So that's what I'm going to stick with. In terms of my transfer, could be a week for a -4. I still have Ndaba, Spittle, he's playing Rangers, St Mirren, O'Hara's away at Hearts. That's a bit tricky. I've got Parks as well, so he's not great. So it could be Ndaba to maybe Yilmaz, given the news that we've had there regarding his position or lack of position in the European squad. He's at home to Motherwell, who are struggling for strikers. And then the following week, they're at home to Aberdeen, who can't seem to score. So, nice couple of fixtures there. Surely some clean sheets there. So, probably Ndaba to Yilmaz for me. Might take a -4 and get boiling. I don't know who I'd get rid of.
Okay, Dory, your plans this week, captain, vice captain transfers?
So obviously I've wild carded, so I've not got as many holes in my team as a lot of other managers will have. I've probably got a luxury of anything that I can hold a transfer. That being said, I'm not too impressed with my forward line. I might move to Simon Murray, playing Aberdeen. He should get a lot of action there. Captain, vice captain, for the foreseeable future, I don't think anyone's going to move off Tav and Kyogo. I think you're going to get returns there. So that's my captain, vice captain, and I'll maybe try and make a change up front, depending on what we see at the end of the week and how the European games go.
Okay, yep. I was going to say these are all European games because it could be injuries, so you have to wait and see. But if everything lands okay, Captain Tav, Vice Captain Kyogo, I don't see any reason to change that, like you said, anytime soon. And my transfer would be Celtic team news dependent. If Turnbull's dropped, then I'm going to go Turnbull to probably O'Hara. If Turnbull starts, then I wouldn't need to move till next week and I will probably take Suar out on the back line, but I've no idea who I'd bring in yet. Probably a defender for my team I haven't got yet, because I've got a Hearts, Rangers, St Johnson, Aberdeen and Livingston lineup. So probably want a different defender, different team in there. Maybe punt on a Dundee defender and just bench him. Just like Beck, just for his cheapness and then have him sitting on the bench, I mean. Just so I've got him there and I'm Griezmann elsewhere. I don't know. There's no real defenders really stand. I'm looking at fixtures, who to bring in. Hibs have got probably the plum fixture, but do you trust him to keep a clean sheet? Because I don't. So
no.
Rangers, Motherwell. I mean, do I want to double up with your defence? Not particularly right now. Aberdeen can't be trusted. Hearts are racing none. That could end up anything. So, and I can't get Celtic playing because I've already got three. So I'm kind of limited with what to do. I could draw, but I've got two players missing for the team if that's the case. So I'd rather just change him for a really cheap player. Or potentially another Motherwell defender, actually. That's another option. And then bench him. But that'd be kind of, I feel a wasted transfer this week when they're playing Rangers. It'd be a bit silly. And that's it. Right, so we can get a plug in out here then. Donny, where can people find you?
I am at FFS underscore Donny.
Tom?
And I'm at FFS underscore Scout.
And I'm at Fantasy Half. So this will come out late, but if you want to join our Champions League, UEFA Fantasy Champions League is on the Twitter page. I thought I had a return straight away, Donny, but I realised the defender who did an assist I took out this morning. So there you go. That's how this season's going to go. But we'll see. So anyway, guys, we'll catch you down the road. We'll see you later. Bye bye.
Bye.
Bye bye.
On a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.